And now it's time to talk to Peter. Peter Allam, our legal eagle, talking to us today about rental versus buying and hidden costs. Peter, very good morning. Welcome.
Yes. Morning, Wayne. Morning to all the listeners, or I should say good day to all the listeners, because as I've mentioned previously, they listen all over the world.
Indeed.
Which is great to know. Wayne, today's chat, I think we're going to start on those hidden costs. Mm. It was just a little one or two liner that is very, very interesting. And today's message is to say to people, you know, it when you go to a restaurant or certain places that you may purchase stuff from, you know, as a gesture of goodwill and as appreciation, you normally tip the waiter or tip the salesman and that type of thing. And recently we have had a matter before our courts where a Bright Chain group were hauled over the coals for service charges and, in fact, fined 1 million rand, believe it or not, as much as that.
Okay.
So the position there is that you cannot put that little clause onto your bill to say 10%, charge for service. Service charge applies to tables of six or more or something like that, or discretionary service charge may be levied. You cannot put that onto your bill without making sure that it's brought to the attention of your patrons or your purchaser up front. So it's very, very important that that must be made known to you. The 10 or 15% that's added, compulsory service charge, some people call it, or service charge applies to tables of six or more, no splitting of the bills and that type of thing. If it is not fully disclosed to you beforehand, they are not entitled to charge it.
Okay.
So it's just a little one-off there just to say, beware of that. Have a look at your bill. Check your menu, because they can hide it in the menu. You know, there's a little fine print with a small little star on the bottom that says, you know, the compulsory service charge applicable or something like that. So you find that your bill is 10 Rand, it comes as 11 Rand, and then you give a tip of 1 Rand, so you paid your tip twice. Sadly, it's not the waiters and that do that. It's the business itself. So that's just a little one-off thing on hidden service charges, which are not allowed. And if you do get them, you're entitled to expose them. And certainly the competition board will take them to task. And sort that out for you. As I say, there's a Bright Chain in South Africa that's just received a huge fine. The tribunal has fined it 1 million rand in terms of the Consumer Protection Act. It's very, very serious in that regard. So that was that one. Then we come along to renting versus buying and the pros and cons of it. In this day and age, so many people come to me these days and say, we're not going to buy anymore. You know, we're rather going to rent. It's cheaper. We don't pick up costs and that type of thing. And I thought it's a good chat, because I think that what you got to do is assess it properly. You know, tenants are reconsidering their priorities in a certain instances, and then homeowners are finding the repairs and that exorbitant and saying, if I rent, I don't have to pick up those big expenses and that. So you've got to source, you've got to source what you can afford through a bank or something if you're going to be buying. So the start for everybody in my regard is to make sure that you do your research, make sure that you are aware of what your credit rating is. They talk about a point system these days. I think it's 600 plus points that you need to be considered for a home loan. The banks are down to giving you points, and a pre-qualification is available these days. So you can go into a bank. You don't have to be buying. You can go to a bank or a party that's going to loan monies for finance for a house, and you can say to them, here's my income and expenditure, here's my status, here's my assets and liabilities. How much are you prepared to give me? So you know beforehand, they're going to give you a million, 1.5 million. They'll tell you what deposit they will expect and things like that. So the first start to everything when considering renting and buying is to check what you qualify for at the bank, you know, and then you can make the choice. Should I continue renting or should I buy? And it all depends on the homework that you do in that regard. You know, when you come to making a deal, then at least you know where you are and what the true position is. Renting, let's talk about renting maybe first, to rent or not to rent. What are the pros of renting? I suppose the first thing you can say is flexibility. If you decided as to where you want to invest or whether your income will secure in the longer term, then renting is best for you. You know, you might want to put more money into policies for retirement at the end of the day, thinking that your asset in the form of a house is not sufficient enough. So a lot of people rent because they then got freedom to more funds. They're not got a set monthly mortgage bond amount. The most important thing I think that persuades people to rent is the fact that you've got no ownership costs. You know, you don't have to do maintenance. You don't have to pay levies. You don't have to pay rates and taxes. You don't have to pay home insurance. You only pay your movable insurance, your normal insurance, your car insurance and that. But you need to sum it up and see if that is really worthwhile. So that's what you will save. And yes, of course, the fact that you're saving on all that gives you a less responsibility situation. So, you know, renting a small lock up and go in a complex is appealing to those who want as little maintenance as possible, who want to be able to move around, go on holiday. Also, you know, if someone's retrenched or something like that, it's easier just to give notice and move on, depending on what lease period you have. So those are the pros of renting, is that you're not committed. It's easily available to you to pull out of it and move on or something like that. You know, if you lose your employment, people think along the lines of, oh, you know, I don't have a steady job. I haven't been here long. I'm in a new job. If I lose a job, we can't afford to pay the rent. Let's not commit ourselves to something long term and that type of thing. So that's basically the pros of it. But the cons of renting are what you need to have a look at as well, is that you've got no return on your investment. So you're making somebody else rich, the way I look at it, in the sense that you're paying him an amount that pays for his bond, pays for the repairs anyway, because you're going to work it into the rental. And you've got no return on your investment. The amount that you pay now, be it 5,000 Rand a month, he's going straight into somebody else's pocket. He probably has a bond of about 2,000 and he's making 3,000. So where you think that your flexibility and no ownership cost comes into play, it's not really there. You know, you're paying for an asset that you don't own and you will not make any returns on it at the end of the day. So it's valueless in that regard. These days, with the housing tribunal and the rules and regulations in place for it, there are rules. Rental agreements are rigid, and a tenant is bound by the rules and regulations that apply to it. So it's not a case of I'm not responsible for anything. They can. A lot of these people these days work in levies, rates and taxes and that type of thing. They can't work in the home insurance because it's the owner that must have that. But your levies, your rates and taxes, your water, lights and all that, they palm onto you these days, and you've got to be very careful with that. And also, if you enter into a long-term fixed agreement, the monthly or annual, not monthly, the annual increase can be substantial as well. You know, you get people that go between 8 to 12%, which is legal. There's nothing wrong with that. What you sign for is what you're going to pay. So you need to be careful there. So when you really sum up whether to buy or not to buy, rental versus purchase, you need to say, is it better to finance my home over a period of 20 to 30 years? I'm going to stay there. We don't intend moving. We're going to start our family and, you know, we're going to build up our home. You know, as we go along, we'll increase the value of the home because homes don't depreciate normally. It's only if you neglect it that it depreciates. But if you buy in the right area, you shouldn't have that problem. So I'm a firm believer in a person buying, especially young couples, purchasing a property. It's an asset. It's long-term. At the end of the day, if you've been there for 10, 15 years, your bond will have decreased considerably, and the property will more, something that you bought for $1 million will probably be worth $1.5 million.
Yeah.
So, you know, property normally increases in value. The only time it decreases is if you bought in the wrong area, which you need to check beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
If you've neglected the home and let it get ruined, you know, if you possibly rented it out and the tenants haven't looked after it because you haven't cared to go and have a look,
mm-hmm.
those are the type of things, you know, that can happen. You know, you might pay a higher interest rate on a longer bond. You know, sometimes people say, geez, I entered into a bond and I still owe the same amount as when I started.
Mm-hmm.
Have a look at that. I'm sure that you check that out before you enter into your bond. You know, it's all very well. We get excited when we're young and we say, I'm going to buy a house. I can afford to pay $2,500, but it comes at a bond of 30 years.
Yeah.
And 20 years later, geez, you know, we haven't paid off. We're still paying bloody interest on this thing. There's no
value. You haven't started with capital.
You don't realize that the home. Yeah, the capital is still there and the home has improved in value invariably. So, you know, that's there. But make sure, you know, you need to check it out and see what the position is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your bond can be anything from 5, 10, 15, 20. You can set, depending on what you can afford, the period. So you need to have a proper look at that. You know, to pay off your bond sooner, yes, it does help because you do enjoy the interest reduction by paying higher installments. You know, just they always say, everybody always says at the bank, and that if you just pay an extra 500 rand per month, a minimum of 500 extra, you'll be surprised at what you will save, the difference that it makes. But these days you have what you call bond originators. People are free to phone us. We can direct them to bond originators who specialize in that. They're able to tell you, this is your bond, this is the period, this is the bank that we can take you to, this bank gives you the better amount, and that type of thing. So I'm a firm believer, and our officers are, in bond originators who are there to assist you. But don't be the little man or lady who goes to the bond originator and says, I want a house, I can afford 2,000. She finds it and you haven't checked out what the purchase price is, what the rental period is, and things like that. You know, you need to make sure that you alert and that you discuss that. And likewise, you know, if you've taken out a bond or you're purchasing a property and you come to the conveyancer, to ourselves, for example, don't ever be too scared to sit down and say, can we just discuss where I am with this? Am I making the right move? Because we're always happy to advise that. You know, we as attorneys believe that people have done a proper study, that they've checked their finances, that they can afford it and all the rest of it. After all, they've gone through the bank who's done a proper assessment on them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a silly question to come to us and say, can you just explain to us how long is the bond going to be? Do we have a bond? You know, and that type of thing. We're not going to put you off buying or anything like that.
Yeah.
We're going to help you just to give you peace of mind. So, you know, when you come to buying or not to buy, that's what you need to consider. The pros of home ownership, then, if we sum it up, is basically ownership and equity. I mean, owning an asset, regardless of the economical climate, is positive. It's something that you have. And if you look at your home and keep it in a good condition and you maybe paid off at that extra 500 Rand, you can still make a return rather than paying off somebody else's bond, somebody else's home, somebody else's asset. You've got that. And like I always say to people as well, you know, some people, you can never know when the dreaded D's are going to come and attack you. You know, you might need money to pay for a funeral. You might need money to pay for a dreaded disease, and, you know, a disaster or something like that. You can always fall back on a home and go back and get more money out of the home. You know, if you've paid off something, you can go back and get a return on that. And maybe if somebody's picked up cancer and you need treatment and you don't have the cash, you can use the house as an asset to secure another loan to do that.
Yes.
So you're not paying off somebody else's loan. You don't have an asset that's got no value. You will definitely have an asset with value, and people are more likely to give you a loan based on a proper fixed asset than not. So home ownership is very important to equity and ownership. You also must understand that if you rent a home, you cannot do what you want to. If you read the fine clauses in there, you can't change, you know, certain aspects thereof, such as redo the bathroom or add a little lean-to on at the front because you're buying that area. It's not yours.
Yeah.
You know, you can't decorate, you can't renovate, you can't call the shots, put a wall up, yeah, or add an extra bedroom or something like that. Doesn't belong to you. Ownership is restricted. So you need to be very, very careful in that regard as well. And then, of course, you know, a lot of people don't realize as well that, you know, you can buy one home, you can live in it. If you've got sufficient enough money, purchase another home. Use it as an investment. It's a very good asset. You know, if you're looking to rent out your place, a tenant can be found. You can cover your bond. You can cover, hopefully, your outstanding bills. You cover your water and lights. You can sometimes incorporate rates into there and that type of thing. You know, it's one of the things that you can do. So there's an added benefit there that if you've got excess cash, you can get that sorted by buying another home and getting an asset that will grow in value over the period of time. Of course, as well, you know, this point system that we mentioned, where I think it's 600 points that they require you to get from a credit application. But it also benefits your credit score and your finance charges. You know, if you've got a business or something and you're looking for a loan, you're better off. You're going to use that as an asset to say, oh, I own my own home and I've got another second home or a flat somewhere. You know, a lot of people buy properties for their – I mean, I know a lot of people who have children that go to university in another town, be it Port Elizabeth, Cape Town, Joburg, wherever, and they buy apartments there.
I've heard of that happening.
Off when the child leaves. Sometimes, yes. I mean, I have so many people that actually keep those because, you know, student rental is big and beneficial. So, you know, you can score on your credit and your financial situation in that regard. The cons of home ownership, though, must also be considered. I'm not saying that it's all hunky-dory. I sound like I'm saying buy a home, buy a home.
Yeah, sort of, yeah, looking at the bright side. But there's obviously also negative concerns.
Yeah, the hidden costs are there, you know. You know, you need to know what the transfer fees are when you're buying. Don't forget there are hidden costs and that, the attorney's fees, rates that you pay in advance, you know, the connection for water and lights and all that type of thing. All of those expenses do come into the situation. So don't think that you're buying for $1 million, you've only got to find $1 million. You're probably going to have to find $1,100,000 or something like that with
all the costs,
transfer duty, attorney's fees, bond registration and all that type of thing. So the hidden costs are there. Make sure that you find out what the costs are. So don't be one of those that goes with an agent and the agent's only too eager to sell to you and you buy. And then you come along and say, but you told me it's worth, I'm only buying for $1 million and now the attorneys are calling for $1,100,000 or something like that. You know, where am I going to find that other 100? I don't have it. That happens so often to us where that's not actually advised. You know, the other thing is, as well, is if you buy a home, you must understand that it's long-term. You know, if you get, in this day and age, I mean, most kids, I mustn't call them kids, most young adults want to do a quick gap year or something and travel overseas, and then they get overseas and they don't want to come home. So your mobility is not just a case of pack up and go. You must take that into account. You need to know that you settled, that you may be happily married, you're going to have children, that you've got a job that you're happy with and that you're going to stay there. That's very important as well. And of course, you know, I did mention that I invariably property never goes down in value. But, you know, the return is not guaranteed. You must always remember that it's not set in stone to say that at the end of the day, you know, your 1 million home is going to sell for 1.5 in 10 years' time.
Yeah.
That depends, like I mentioned before, the factors. Are you in the right area? Have you paid the right price? Have you maintained it and modified it and brought it up to scratch that people will want to purchase it? So it's very important to do your research prior to purchase to make sure that you've got all of that under control. So that's basically the pros and cons of buying and selling or renting. You know, your renting is, people think it's very easy. I just rent, I take 6 months lease. If I'm not happy there, I can move on to another home. If I'm happy, I just lease again for another 6 months.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people who think that way, saying, I'm gonna buy it in Great Tyre, call it Tsinsa. If I'm not happy, I'll move from Tsinsa to Glengariff or something like that. There's always something to rent out there. But you're not forming any asset for yourself.
Yeah,
and
yes,
you might be moving from pillar to post with fancy homes, and your friends think, yo, this is a, you know, he lives a good lifestyle. He lives in a nice big fancy home at Glengariff or something like that. You know, and the next minute he's in a bigger and better home at Tsinsa West or Tsinsa East or something like that. So, you know, but that's not what it's all about. What you've got to consider is what you're paying for, renting or buying. Big difference. Renting, you never own it. You're paying for somebody else's property. Buying, you own it. If you maintain it, you've got an investment.
And you've got an asset that will look after you and your kids, for that matter.
Absolutely.
You know, so
absolutely.
It's. I think, as you mentioned, Peter, there's a lot to consider, and your personal circumstances, financial, job, et cetera, would be all the deciding factors, plus your lifestyle, would be the deciding factors as to whether you buy or whether you just rent and kind of just roll as life takes you.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you as we say, think before you ink. We've always said that on this program of ours. So, you know, think properly before you put your signature onto an offer to purchase, before you put your signature onto a rental agreement. Mm. And like I always say, you know, everybody has a job to do. Attorneys are there to be able to give you advice in that regard. If you're not sure as to what you want to do, invariably you'll get a one-off consultation of between 500 and 750 rand with an attorney. Worthwhile going to an attorney, conveyancing department,
to get that.
Sitting down with them and discussing at length, am I making the right decision or not?
Right. And that could be money well spent. In fact, is money well spent, because then you've got good advice from a neutral party. Because like you said, you know, watch out for the estate agents, because they need to move the property. And although there are very honest estate agents around, you might find some that just want to get rid of a property. It's been on their books for too long and they just need to move it. And you look like the right person coming along that would be that one, but maybe that property is not quite right for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And Peter, if somebody's in the market, they've got to find a place to live and they're trying to make these decisions, how do they get in touch with Alums?
Yeah, they can find us at 6 Sansom Road in Berea. Little side street off Devra Avenue where Pep Stores is situated, number 6, telephone 043-7211-018, or better still, they can find us on Wild Coast FM or on our own Facebook page. Just add an S to our surname, it becomes Alums, A-L-L-A-M for Mary, S for Sugar, and all our details are there.
Correct.
And as I say, we're really happy to meet with you and discuss especially the purchase of a home, as we've discussed today.
Right. Peter, thank you very, very much, and have a good week. Looking forward to chatting again next week, Monday.
Thank you, Ian.
Thanks, Peter. That's Peter Allen with today's Legal Eagle Chat.